We started out with an economist, now we have a meteorologist. There's two things we definitely have in common. We like to make predictions, and we are often wrong about those predictions. So I apologize in advance for that, but I'll do the best I can here. So today I was asked to first talk about some of the global trade flow of corn and soybeans, since I do deal with commodity traders every day, since that's who mainly subscribes to our weather products. So start off with an overview of the global trade flow of corn and soybeans and my thoughts on how we could be heading in the future there. Then we'll dive into the weather, the part I'm most interested in, and how that impacts corn and soybeans, and then, again, how climate change could potentially impact corn and soybean production and trading going forward. So starting off with a very high-level look at corn production, a map showing where corn is grown. Obviously, the U.S. is the biggest producer of corn. China's a clear number two, and then we have the EU and South America as big producers of corn, as you probably all know at this point. Looking at the trade of corn, you can see on the left-hand side there, the countries that are the big exporters. Again, the U.S. is the biggest exporter, followed by Brazil and Argentina. Ukraine's also a fairly large exporter of corn. And then the importers, of course, would be the EU, Japan, and many countries in Asia. So you can see where corn is flowing around the world. If you look at soybeans, again, many of the same areas, the U.S. and then particularly South America, the big soybean-producing areas in the world. South America combined outpaces the U.S. in terms of soybean production. And if we look at the trade, it's really the U.S. and Brazil that are the big exporters of soybeans. And on the import side, it's really all about China. And I'll show you a graph here coming up of how that's changed dramatically over the past 10 or 15 years. So before we get to the future, I want to take a little bit of a look back at the past 10 or 15 years to see how things have been changing. So starting off with corn production, you can see the U.S. is still clearly the top producer of corn in the world, but it's seen its global share of production fall off here some recently. A lot of that has had to do with weather, although we've had a very good year here this past growing season. We had several years in a row of some weather issues in the U.S. before that. China is the clear second producer of corn globally, and it's seen its share actually increase slightly. And then we have Brazil, which has certainly seen its share of global production increasing, particularly with the increase of their winter corn crop or their safrinha crop in northwestern Brazil, Mato Grosso in particular. Ukraine has seen their production grow steadily as well, although they're certainly having some issues politically at this point. On the import side, Japan was traditionally the big importer of corn back at the beginning of this century, but we've seen a dramatic drop in their share of global corn inputs as their population has begun to decline. We've seen some of the similar issues in other portions of Asia, South Korea, Taiwan, but some of the more developing countries have seen their share increase as a result, not surprisingly. And then China is really the big wild card here. They are a big producer of corn, so their domestic production is often enough to make up for meet their demand, but recently, they've seen their imports increase, and we're likely to see that continue, I would think. And then on the export side, again, U.S. was the dominant corn exporter, but Brazil and Ukraine have both seen their share of global exports increase pretty significantly here recently. What does the future hold in terms of the corn trade? I think the U.S. will remain the top producer. They have the best combination of technology and infrastructure. And U.S. farmers simply like to plant corn. It's just kind of an instinct, I would say. Brazil is likely to see their share of production increase given the potential acreage that there is to expand across particularly northern Brazil, and again, the increase of that winter corn crop that can be grown across much of Brazil. China will probably become more of an important importer of corn given their growing population and the limited potential for expansion in their production of corn. And then Argentina and Ukraine are similar, that they both have potential and they also have some problems, that they have large areas of productive farmland, but they also have some political government issues that could limit the investment there in corn production. And as our previous speaker said, corn demand is going to increase. That's kind of obvious given the increasing population and increasing income. So that's kind of a no-brainer. Soybean production. You can see, again, the U.S. was the top producer. Brazil has now caught up to the U.S. and is very very close to the U.S. in terms of the global share of production. Argentina is clearly number three, but hasn't really seen an increase here recently. And China, an important producer, but they've seen some their share of production decrease here recently. Imports, like I said, is all about China. This is a pretty dramatic graph that you can see as recently as 2001, the EU was the top importer of soybeans globally, and now is a distant second as China is just so dominant in the soybean import market. Exports, again, U.S. Brazil pretty close and really dominate that market, and Brazil has recently overtaken the U.S. in terms of exports over the past couple of years, especially with the weather problems we've seen in the U.S. Future, I think Brazil will probably become the clear leader. We've already seen trends in that direction, especially given the expansion potential in terms of acreage, and also the fact that I think Brazilian farmers, like U.S. farmers, like to plant corn. I think Brazilian farmers tend to like to plant soybeans as well. Infrastructure is still a problem there, but there's certainly improved investment there, and that should be improving, I would think. Maybe slowly, but should be improving. And China will remain the dominant importer and will really be the big story there as, again, they have huge pork production in China that requires lots of soybeans. And similar to corn, their domestic production and potential is fairly limited given the amount of arable land they have. So that's kind of a summary of where we've been and where I think we're going to be going in terms of the trade flow. But now I want to take a look at the weather, which is, again, what really interests me. So if we start off, here's some pictures. We do a crop tour every year of the Midwest. This is from the drought year back in 2012. So you can clearly see that, yes, weather has a big impact on crops given the shape of these crops that you see in these pictures right here. So I want to go through a few weather variables. Again, you probably know a lot of this already, but just the weather variables that really impact corn and soybean production: drought, heat, flooding, wetness, and also freeze events. So drought, obviously, is probably the most important weather variable for corn and soybean production, I would say, across, if you look at the globe. And the major areas that we typically see most impacted by drought would be the Midwest, as we saw, I think, the most recent example of a dramatic decrease in production due to an extreme drought. You can see the picture there of the dryness across the Midwest and how corn prices reacted as a result, surging during 2012. But also China, Argentina, southern Brazil as opposed to northern Brazil, because northern Brazil is such a wet climate generally. Southern Brazil is at more risk of dryness. And also Ukraine and portions of Russia have obviously drought issues as well. And then heat really goes hand in hand with drought. Oftentimes we see those two things together. We certainly saw that in the U.S. in 2010, 2011, 2012, the heat. And you can see what it does to corn there in the cartoon there. And again, many of those same areas that are susceptible to drought, susceptible to heat as well. And you can see I have a map there of some of the extreme heat we saw in Argentina a couple years ago that also impacted the corn crop there, soybeans as well. I'd say corn is at a bigger threat from heat than soybeans, especially during that key pollination phase when it's so susceptible to heat. And on the other hand, wetness and flooding can certainly impact production as well. Again, many of those same areas that can see a drought can see the opposite extreme. And I'd also say Europe is more susceptible to the wetness and flooding threats than they are to drought, just given, again, a wetter climate than some of these other areas. But you can see the image up there is from the 1993 droughts across, floods across the Midwest in the U.S. This is from Iowa. You can certainly see on the damage that it can cause to large areas of corn and soybean producing areas. And in addition to just reducing acreage, we can obviously see disease threats as a result of wetness, particularly in soybeans since the canopy is closer to the ground, keeps things, when you have wet soils, it stays wetter as a result of that canopy being there, so can lead to a lot of disease and quality issues as a result. And finally, frost and freeze events. A market-moving event like this is pretty rare. For instance, in the U.S., I'd say the last really widespread freeze that caused significant damage was back in the 70s. You can see that map there. It was very cold in early September of 1974 that had a significant impact on corn and soybean production in the U.S. But like I said, they're rare, but when they occur, they can be very significant and have a big impact. So before I move into looking out into the future and climate change, I want to briefly touch on El Niño, La Niña. I know there's probably been a lot of interest in this recently, especially since it looks like we'll be moving towards a weak El Niño event coming up this over the next several months. So just want to give a little bit of a background on what we typically see the result on corn and soybean production as a result of El Niño and La Niña. So El Niño and La Niña are part of what we call the ENSO cycle, the El Niño Southern Oscillation. It's just a cycle involving the changes in sea surface temperatures and pressures across the Pacific Ocean, particularly the tropical Pacific. So those changes lead to changes in weather patterns around the world. If we look at El Nino, again, this is what we're most likely going to be seeing coming up here over the next several months. These are the typical rainfall patterns that we see. So drier in Southeast Asia and Australia, wetter in portions of Argentina, drier in northern Brazil, wetter across portions of the southern United States. Again, these are typical correlations with El Nino. It doesn't always happen this way. And the areas that see the strongest correlation with El Nino and rainfall patterns would be the areas closest to the tropical Pacific where we're seeing these changes occur. So that'd be Australia, Southeast Asia, South America. Those areas typically see the strongest correlation with an El Nino and a change in weather patterns. What does that mean for corn and soybean production? Really, an El Nino is usually relatively benign for corn and soybean production in the major growing areas. There's usually not a big impact on U.S. crops. If anything, there's a slight correlation with a cooler summer, so that would be a good thing for corn and soybeans. In South America, usually Argentina in particular sees above normal rainfall, so usually we have adequate soil moisture in most areas, so a good thing for production. Some of the smaller areas of production areas can have some issues. India often has a weaker monsoon. South Africa can have some dryness, but the major areas usually have pretty favorable weather. La Nina is just the opposite. We have cooler waters in the tropical Pacific, and it leads to wetter conditions in Southeast Asia and Australia, drier conditions across Argentina, also portions of the United States. So, again, this is a much less favorable pattern for corn and soybean production in the major growing areas. The U.S. typically has some hotter and drier summers. We saw that back in 2011 and 2012. Argentina typically has some dryness issues. And even into southern Brazil, we can have some issues for corn and soybeans given some drier weather in those areas. All right, so now moving on to climate change. This is always an interesting topic, not always my favorite to talk about because it can be very controversial and political. So I'm going to start off with a slide of things we can all agree on. These are facts. So first is climate is not static. It's always changing. So that's something important to keep in mind. Secondly, I've been talking about, you know, above normal, below normal. Normal, we usually don't see normal weather. What we call normal is really just an averaging out of the extremes. So there's always been extremes in weather. We're always going to see extremes in weather, regardless of what you think on climate change. So that's important to keep in mind. Next, blaming an individual weather event on climate change is simply bad science. You can't do it. There's no evidence to say a specific drought or a specific hurricane or a specific flood is the result of climate change. But we can say something about the longer-term trends, and that's what I'll be discussing here coming up. And finally, the most important point, there's a lot we don't know. People on all sides of this issue, I think, talk about it with far too much certainty. There's a lot we don't know, and it's important that we acknowledge there's a lot we don't know. So one thing we do know is that the world has been warming. So this chart shows you how temperatures averaged over the land areas in the world have changed over the past 115 years or so. It's warmed up. We've seen a leveling off of the warming over the past 10 or 15 years, but we haven't seen a decline in temperatures. It's just leveled off. But this is pretty indisputable. What's behind this warming? I'm going to leave that to you guys to decide because there's a lot of controversy there. I think there's been some human influence, some natural influence, but again, there's a lot we don't know, so I don't really want to delve into that part of it too much. What's important is how is it going to impact agriculture. So I want to have a couple images here from climate models showing if we continue to see warming, how's that going to impact variables that are important to agriculture. So starting off with the length of the growing season, pretty simple. As you see warming, you would have a longer growing season. So the map there shows you the areas with the brightest reds are the areas that would see the most significant lengthening of the growing season. So mainly in the northern hemisphere, mainly up in northern North America, northern Europe and Asia, those areas would see a lengthening of the growing season. Not too surprising. Next is precipitation intensity, so extremes in either rainfall or drought. As you see warming, the climate models show that we would see an increase in the extremes of precipitation as a result. So the areas in the blues here are the areas that would see the most would be most likely to see those changes. Again, many of the same areas, northern North America, Europe, portions of Asia, and here portions of South America and East Africa as well. So that could be probably more of an issue for crops going forward. And tying this back to yields, what these graphs show you are that there's a difference in the way yields would react in tropical areas versus areas in the mid-latitudes or areas away from the tropics. What we found is that given a warming climate, yields would initially, for the subtropical areas away from the tropics, would actually increase slightly initially, given the longer growing season. But eventually, as you get to a certain degree of warming, you would see declines in yields as we have more extremes in precipitation. Tropics, really any kind of warming, would lead to problems with yields as the growing season's not, length of the growing season really isn't an issue in the tropics. It's more those extremes in precipitation that could lead to declines in yields. And this map really just highlights that. You can see the areas away from the tropics typically would see improvements in yields, whereas areas in the tropics would have more issues. So to sum up, again, there's a lot we don't know about this. There's going to be winners and losers, depending on what area you're in. And the important thing is here is those who use and produce agricultural commodities are going to have to learn to adapt to these changes. Because there's going to be changes. Again, what's driving it, how big the changes are, we don't really know. But it's going to be important to be able to quickly adapt to these changes. So we've always had extreme weather. We always will. And I like that because it keeps me in the job. So that's pretty much what I have. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.